Forget everything you know about SSH and try Tailscale. Imagine if you didn't need to manage PKI or rotate SSH keys every time someone leaves. That'd be pretty sweet, wouldn't it? With Tailscale SSH, you can do exactly that. Tailscale gives each server and user device a node key to connect to its VPN, and it uses the same node key to authorize and authenticate SSH. Basically, you're SSHing the same way you manage access to your app. What's the benefit here? Built-in key rotation, permissions as code, connectivity between any two devices, reduced latency, and there's a lot more, but there's a time limit here. You can also ask users to re-authenticate for that extra bit of security. Sounds expensive? Nope, I wish it were. Tailscale is completely free for personal use on up to 20 devices. To learn more, visit snark.cloud/tailscale. Again, that's snark.cloud/tailscale. Hello and welcome to Last Week in AWS, the podcast. This week's going to have a particularly interesting announcement for many of you. You're going to want to pay attention to Wednesday's episode for sure. I dare say it might be the best announcement of this entire reInvent season. Now let's see what AWS has gotten up to this week. Amazon MSK now offers a new low-cost storage tier that scales to virtually unlimited storage. This is just a weird framing. I've never seen AWS use the term virtually unlimited storage before. Usually it's either up to a cap, as in EBS volumes cap out at 64 terabytes, or they refer to it as unlimited, as in S3 will not run out of storage space before you run out of budget. I can't figure out what the limits are here. Service quotas claim a limit of a maximum of 16 terabytes of storage per broker, but it's unclear whether that applies to this new low-cost storage tier. Amazon Virtual Private Cloud now supports the transfer of Elastic IP addresses between AWS accounts. And this is huge news for folks who until now couldn't migrate that one highly specific thing into their modernized account structure from the old legacy Omnibus AWS account that so many of us are still running. AWS IoT Core announces location action to route location data from IoT devices to Amazon Location Service. This is a huge deal. Not the specifics so much as two AWS service teams finally got to talk to one another long enough to integrate what they've built. Amazon Connect Customer Profiles now surfaces additional customer information in the Amazon Connect Agent application. I'm looking forward to my difficult customer profile annotation the next time I call AWS for support. Keeping pace with FinServ regulatory compliance demands with Smarsh and AWS. Hey, I remember Smarsh and its compliance stuff back when I worked at a startup that got acquired by a big financial services company. They sent a very business-like request to link my social media accounts to Smarsh so it could read my DMs and private messages, and I sent back an equally business-like framing of the sentiment, get f***ed. For some reason, I wasn't much of a culture fit. Use Alexa devices to initiate customer service with Amazon Connect. Alexa, open an AWS support ticket, and suddenly every person working in AWS's awesome support org just felt their blood run cold at the idea. How USAA built an Amazon S3 malware scanning solution. Hey, my bank / insurance company / arguably most beloved vendor for the last 25 years is in the AWS blog this week. This is interesting because it appears similar to the apparently defunct Binary Alert malware scanning project that came out of Airbnb. Binary Alert uses lambdas to scan objects, while USAA's solution makes use of an EC2 auto-scaling group. Without more detail than this blog post provides, it's impossible to say whether that's the right or wrong decision, because context matters. I'd be interested in learning more about it if anyone at USAA is listening. Please reach out and let me know. Vela Games cuts game build times by 60% using infrastructure on AWS. By using AWS, we realized X% improvement is usually a direct indictment to, well, what were you doing before? But this one is achieved via using the best launch of reInvent 2021, which is Amazon FSx for OpenZFS. So I'm going to simply shut up and cheer about the improvement. This episode of the Last Week in AWS podcast is sponsored by our friends at Datadog, a cloud-scale observability platform that provides comprehensive visibility into cloud, hybrid, and multi-cloud environments with over 600 integrations, including, obviously, AWS. With Datadog, you can navigate seamlessly between your AWS infrastructure metrics, traces, and logs using out-of-the-box dashboards and algorithmic alerting for fast collaboration and troubleshooting, all in one tightly integrated platform. Plus, Datadog's lightweight agent integrates seamlessly with AWS services, so you can start monitoring EC2, RDS, ECS, and all the other AWS services that you don't use in minutes. Datadog provides your teams with the tools to monitor every layer of their stacks to enhance performance, but don't take their word for it. Start a free trial today and they'll send you a t-shirt. Visit datadoghq.com/lastweekinAWS. That's datadoghq.com/lastweekinAWS. Amazon's Simple Email Service, SES, helps improve inbox delivery with new features. This is an interesting release because SES has historically been a pretty bare-bones it sends email service. Higher-level stuff that you'd want for business use consumes SES via Amazon Pinpoint. This feels like SES is starting to move up the stack in ways it previously hadn't. I'm going to be keeping an eye on this. Increasing sustainability for your Microsoft workloads on AWS. The Microsoft angle is almost irrelevant. Read this blog post for insights into how AWS thinks about sustainability, responsibility in the cloud. It's similar to the shared responsibility model, and this is the first time that I've seen their position articulated quite so clearly. Authors Rodney Underkoffler, Chase Lindemann, John Stasek, and Marcio Morales should be rightly proud of this piece. It's important, well-written, and incredibly interesting. How Nomad uses Amazon IVS to scale public court live streams. Given data egress fees, you'd really think that a video streaming provider would view the list of Amazon IVS reference customers as a prospecting list. Export historical Security Hub findings to an S3 bucket to enable complex analytics. And this one initially scared me because I think of S3 as a place for huge data volumes, and Security Hub is designed to deliver signal from the noise of your chattering logs. Fortunately, it's not about building massive data lakes, so this is actually a good approach. And finally, how to control non-HTTP and non-HTTPS traffic to a DNS domain with AWS Network Firewall and AWS Lambda. This is incredibly clever, and apparently it's responsive enough for production use. I just wish that I had an architecture that could benefit from it. And that's what happened last week in AWS as pre-invent season is in full swing. Much more to come. Stay salty.
This has been a Humble Pod production.
Stay humble.